Hello, patrons, and welcome to the post show for episode one, episode 20. I don't know. I'm lost. It's a new season.
This is the great thing about seasons is we get to reset the number.
Yeah. But also the YouTube list, it's a number. There's a number attached to this episode. You know what episode this is. If you don't know what episode this is, it's the one where we find out that Rex is old now.
It's so. S02E01, obviously. When you look it up on Torrent, that's what you're going to find.
What's the title?
When you BitTorrent this torrent episode.
Yeah.
When you pirate it like the filthy, filthy jackers you all are.
Jackers.
I'm kidding. You're the good kind of jackers, everybody. So, hi. Yeah. Hello. Welcome back, everybody. We got right back into that shit, like, ASAP, hey? I'm really happy. I was... It's tough going into a new thing because it's basically a new campaign, but you don't get to just create everything from scratch. It's a new campaign that has to feel new enough that it feels new, but familiar enough that it still feels like the old
there's history. You're building off of history.
Yeah. So going into it, I was like, tone balancing is going to be really hard. And like, it's like we're all trying to play a song that sounds like but isn't the song we were playing last time with new instruments. It's a whole thing. You did good, everybody. I'm really interested in seeing where these characters go, and like it felt like an episode of Nebula Jazz, right? Even though three quarters of the characters were very different and one of those characters was pretty different, it still felt like we were doing the same weird goofing that we usually do. So I'm really happy with that.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel? How'd you feel about that first episode?
It felt good. I feel like I need to maybe change some of my aspects a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. What about your aspects? Do you feel like you need to mess around with?
I feel like I need one that references that, like, I have like ninja assassin sort of like,
yeah,
style, totally. You know?
Well, you can change your stay out of sight one. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can still be a hopeful Mingusi urchin. You can still just want somebody to love. Stay out of sight. You could turn into like literally like Golden Shadow. Right. Like,
right.
You have some kind of secret Mingusi ninja training. Like, that's totally fine. And then you can throw in all of those tricks where I'm like, he pulls out a laser gun and shoots you. And you're like, cool. He shoots me, but he shoots a log instead. And it goes thump on the ground. It's just a fucking fake log. And I'm over there.
He shoots my after image because I've already moved.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
If you want to play Artemis as the secret ninja, that's fully,
if you want to play Artemis as Boruto's dad in space.
yeah
boy ninja Artemis. Yeah,
well, I just kind of figure like she grew up having to be kind of stealthy, and so now that she's like having to fight, it's just kind of naturally become sort of that fighting style.
Yeah, I dig it. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I might just call it the Golden Shadow.
Yeah, I like it too. It sounds like it's translated from, like, it sounds like the name of a kung fu movie.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, I like it. Cool. What about everybody else? How's old Rex feeling?
Oh, Rex feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's relying on Forceful a lot more than Quick, because obviously, like, these characters aren't as good as the old ones. So I took all the stat points out of Quick to make him seem more old. He's got that retired, like, I mean, he like kind of had a I don't give a shit thing before, but he's lost that heroic aspect.
I love how quickly we all went to just like, cool, yeah, Rex takes a shot in the face, Rex gets punched in the ear, like, it's
so,
just like,
so this is one thing I'm trying to do is like, I spent the whole first season trying to avoid taking stress with Rex, be it like I'm super quick or I'm super cool, and now I'm looking at Rex like, man, I kind of like the idea that he gets punched in the face like four times an episode, but then just punches them back because he's too old and slow to get out of the way of that shit. I'm kind of taking a different approach.
That's the thing about like boxing and stuff, right? Is that like, if you're young and quick, you just don't get punched. You're not there where the punches are, but you can also win at boxing by just being able to take hits better.
Yeah.
Right. So I do like it gives you lots of fun narrative stuff because it's really badass to be like, cool, he takes a swing at me with a knife and I dodge out of the way. But it's also cool to be like, cool, he stabs me in the chest and I'm just like, you whoop, mate. Right. Yeah, like yeah. Being tough and resilient absolutely. Is a whole other kind of badass.
I was saving all of my points for my offensive actions. Mm-hmm. And every time I got hit, I was like, I'll take the strain. I'll take the consequence. Because, he's getting fucked up. And now I got like a kooky scientist. So who knows if she can heal me quickly or all kinds of stuff. So we'll find out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the kooky scientist. How was your first session as Luna? How does that feel? Did the character feel like you expected, or are you like Artemis? You have some ideas about where maybe you want to kind of like drift the character.
I feel like some of her. I think that I played the character how I wanted, but I feel like some of her aspects don't fit where I want her to go as well. Mm-hmm. I do think that obviously her core isn't going to change, but I think once the group's together, she won't have to be the one that's directly doing the fights anymore, even though it was fun to see that, because we do have all the other characters that can directly do fighting. Or I guess Jesse's character didn't directly fight, but I don't know. I feel like the good news, everyone, isn't going to be something that she can really call upon for a lot of any sort of encounter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So we can definitely work around that. I think that's absolutely the thing, right? Is that you have ideas about what might work, and then as soon as you actually play, you're like, oh, okay, I need to like contextually kind of like work around this.
Like, I think end justifies the means can work. I can get that to work, but the good news is something that's not, she's not going to just use on the spot.
Go on.
Sorry, Sam. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like the idea of you conceptually fighting with chemical engineering, like knockout gas or like, you know, like weaponized illnesses and stuff like that. Just,
and that's sort of how I want to do it. Like, I want to get like even like a dart gun or something where she just like injects people directly with poisons that she creates, and then like it's like all the poisons are different. Like, some of them don't like directly kill someone. Some of them like cause them to break out into like a severe illness or stuff like that. Like, she just does that instead of just straight up like brute force. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. So this is why I think it's good to like even like leave yourself some space at the beginning of the game, and then fill in your aspects or fill in like those things as you go, right? Like, we still have room for more aspects and for more stunts for everybody. So it's kind of fun, because I think that a lot of the time role-playing games expect you to come to the table with your character finished completely and be like, well, whatever choices you made, that's how it goes. But I like the idea of being like, well, just like figure out these three, and then in play you'll have these moments where you're like, oh wait, that's my guy, that's my character, like that's a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see that happening for sure. Jesse, how you feel about playing Basil, the hyper destructive snooty robot? I gotta say, the bits where there's an inclination towards teamwork in role-playing games, even if you know that you're like not necessarily like on each other's sides, being able to say like, I can rely on my fellow players to like help me with stuff. I love that you threw that out the window and you're like, nope, just now the room's full of buzzsaws. You figure it out. It was great. It was really, really good. And Dodger, I like how you played off that instead of being like, I need your help, I'm getting my ass kicked. You were like, okay, this is how it goes.
I like how the only times in this whole episode that he helped people, we compelled him to assist.
Multiple
times.
It's great.
I literally want that to be a thing. Like, if you want my help, compel me.
And even
give me those fate points. I will be
in the act of saving us, it was like, hey, you have 2 minutes or you die with everyone else. I'll be at the ship. I'm just like, all right.
Well, and the thing is too is that fits perfectly with Basil as a character, right? Because Basil isn't in. If Basil was in control of Basil's actions, there would be a lot more bloodshed and chaos, right? Like, you are restrained, and I love the idea of being compelled to be helpful, to be like, Basil, bzzt, do the thing, even if it's outside the fiction.
Yeah. I think that my previous character was all about bludgeoning and beating, and even though I tried to give him an emotional core, at the end of the day, he would, like, break guys' heads open. And so I wanted to make a character who is the exact opposite, who has no emotional core, and all he wants to do is murder, but can't because he's, like, trapped in a feeble sex bot body. And so I love the idea that he's clever and sneaky and quick, but has zero into, like, all of the abilities that would help him actually.
He has like no tools to assist him with his his conquest of organics.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's from a different hardware that no longer exists, and he's like, well, I gotta make do. It's my programming. I have to kill people. And so, yeah, that's just what he does. And I love the idea that he is, it's almost comical in how ridiculously over the top he is as a murder bot.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is just silly. Why would anyone do this? And it's like, well, it's all he knows how to do. He's just a murder bot.
But what I love most is that he looks like 1985.
Oh my God. That's highlight of the episode. Like you just totally like sideswipe me with that. Yeah. It was so good.
So fucking it was funny. Yeah.
I was like, I literally, this is the process I went through. I went through, what do sex bots look like? And all I found were like female sex bots. And I was like, well, that doesn't help me. So like, what does a male sex bot look like? And then it was all like the robot from iRobot. And I was like, well, that's stupid. I was like, what would people, like, what was the sexiest look in 1985? Yeah. And it was like People Magazine's sexiest man, Mel Gibson. I was like, there we go.
And also that's like, again, this is the great thing about Nebula Jazz, and the thing that makes it so like vital, I think, is that kind of bullshit immediately becomes true in the universe forever and ever. Like there is a line of sex bots based off of who's 1985 sexiest woman of the year.
Great question.
Woman alive, because it's her, right? Like it's the two. Those are the two, like the pair that they made. And we already talked about how people like in the universe fetishize humans as being this kind of like mysterious race of beautiful and exotic creatures. So yeah, so good. Thank you for that. I haven't thought about Mel Gibson in a while.
I literally do not see maybe Hot Girls of Summer. I don't.
Yeah, like it's a much less unanimous vote. I think.
Yeah.
Right. Like yeah.
There's a lot of votes for Kelly LeBrock.
Oh, the one from Weird Science. Like that.
Oh,
I think that's perfect.
Okay. Yeah.
She married Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Kelly LeBrock. Yeah.
Kelly, if you Google Kelly LeBrock 1985, there are many exciting 80s pictures of Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah. Perfect.
Good. Good stuff. Looking good, Kelly. Sold. Done. So I love that. It's so nice that we've had enough time with the show and we've had all these episodes to kind of like get on board and kind of bring it back to the beginning of the talk. Like the thing that makes me feel like we can take all these weird gambles and we can do this like really improvised show is that I feel like we're all pretty on board with the tone and like being able to pull out shit like your character looks like Mel Gibson, like a robot Mel Gibson, and know that it would fit. There's a sort of safety net for those kinds of risks. And I'm really, I'm excited. I'm excited to keep playing and see where the episodes go from here.
I said it in a tweet, but can I shout out the fact that Pocket named her character Luna and I named my character Artemis and we never talked about that. It was a complete coincidence.
It's good. Yeah. It's funny because Jesse and I were talking and he was originally going to name his character Sailor Moon for some weird reason. So, that would have been perfect.
This would have been an entirely
different show. Two or three. It's fine. Yeah, sadly, Sailor Moon does not exist in the world of Nebula Jazz. It was post the destruction of the Earth, so it's a sad universe.
It was but a twinkle in a human's eye.
Yeah, but that's right. It's okay. It's okay. We got Mel Gibson sex robots, so good stuff. Well, cool. Good first episode. I'm really excited to see what happens, and I'm glad that we're going to be able to pick it up and play it again next week. So we will, I guess, see you all then. Thanks for coming, y'all, patrons. Thanks for your support, and hopefully we'll see you next week for more. That's it for us. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.